blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of gold, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Scriptures that has to do with faith that one might discover. In fact, the whole chapter that I will read one verse of is a whole chapter of wonderful and powerful faith. Faith that shook the world. Faith that turned many, many cities and kingdoms upside down. Faith that transformed wonderful lives, just some real powerful truth. And I just want to read one verse of Hebrews 11 and 6, and then you may be seated if you will promise to go to the book of James chapter 1, and let's read together there. And then other scriptures as I preach this morning. But in the book of Hebrews 11 and 6, let me read this to you. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What a powerful verse. And before I read it again, thank you, those of you that fasted with me this week. Two meals each day, the breakfast and dinner meal. And I ate only the supper meal, whatever you may call it, dinner, the last meal, but that doesn't matter. Thank you. I don't know who did and who didn't. That's not what I'm doing this for. I'm obeying myself, God's word for me. I must have a faith that shakes me and thereby shakes others. Okay? So thank you. Again, Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible. Say that word, impossible.
Impossible.
Would you say it again?
Impossible.
It is impossible without faith to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, but not enough to believe that he is. You know, there's a world full of them who believe that he is, but he must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, notice that word, seek him. That's a verse of scripture that you got to take every word serious. I mean, really, it is. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, but that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, we must learn also the mighty power of diligent prayer. Prayer that won't give up. Prayer that's like a bulldog. I mean, prayer that just goes on. I mean, in the dark night, in the tough moments, just keep on believing. Just keep on believing. Just keep on praying. Just keep on weeping and sobbing. Amen. You may be seated as you turn to the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1. Let's read, if we might, in James, chapter 1, 4 verses, 5, 6, 7, 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, liberally, and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now those three verses, there, 6, 7, and 8, are really dynamite verses that I don't think the church world takes serious anymore. We've read them so many times. We've quoted them so much. But probably very few of you in this building that couldn't quote this passage of Scripture. Brother Dylan read it for us this past Wednesday night. It's a marvelous passage of Scripture. I believe he really quoted it. But let me read those three verses again. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Don't even think you're going to get anything from God when your faith is wavering, when your faith is unsure, when your faith is not pure, not perfect, really, is what he's trying to tell us. Perfect faith transforms everything it touches. Perfect faith transforms everything it touches. He makes it plain, very clear, a double-minded man. That's a man who has faith one moment and doubt the next, and who's always struggling between faith and doubt, between faith and unbelief, always struggling, always bearing breathing across this chasm between those two mighty powers. Nothing is more powerful than faith except unbelief. Nothing is more powerful than faith but unbelief. Well, maybe we should say unbelief is second to power of faith. Either one, unbelief or faith, will transform you. One for the bad and one for the good. Let's pray. Father, you really know that you laid this on me for me, and it's helping me. But I pray this morning you will touch it for everybody who hears this message, that they will be affected beautifully and spiritually for thy glory and for thy honor. In Jesus' name. Now, let me first this morning try to talk a little bit about unbelief, about the power, the crippling power, the destructive power, the power of unbelief to destroy, the power of unbelief to render a church to be more, no more than a building, to render a testimony to be no more but hypocrisy. Unbelief will destroy everything good about all of us and every one of us. So I want to preach on the sin of unbelief. The Holy Ghost showed me so powerfully that unbelief is a sin. Does that not shake you? Does that not rattle your cage? Unbelief is a sin. And the church world is full of it. Now I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Okay? If it applies to you, you accept it. You appropriate it. But it certainly applies to this pastor that I've had struggles at times with unbelief. And one scripture that really got a hold of me in searching out and digging and trying to get all of this in my mind and my heart like it ought to be is in the book of Revelation. If you'd like to go to Revelation 21 and verse 8, Revelation 21 and verse 8, and it says, listen, but the fearful and unbelieving, notice that word unbelieving, see, same word as unbelief, except it's the adjective, I guess, of the word unbelief, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It arrested me. It arrested me. This was some days before the message came to my heart. It arrested me that in this book of God, unbelief, the unbeliever, is coupled with the idolaters and the murderers and all of these terrible sins, but the unbeliever. Now, that has the ring of a man who doesn't know God at all. It has the ring of a man who's rejected God utterly. Has the ring of a man who said he doesn't want anything to do with God. Unbeliever. But there's some indication there that unbelief is as vile and wicked as all of those sins. And when we are hampered with unbelief, we are struggling when we ought to be marching and being victorious. And I have the feeling that unbelief has been a hindrance in my life. Not the kind that would send me out robbing banks and doing dark, evil things, but the kind that I lay hands on the sick and pray for them to be healed, but do not often have the kind of faith that absolute arrests that sickness and they are healed. You read the Bible, real faith is something powerful. And I don't think anybody here could deny the church of our day doesn't have it. How many will agree the church of our day is full of unbelief? Would you raise your hand? The church of our day is full of unbelief. The church of our day is not seeing people like Sister Sylvia perfectly healed and going about life with a completely whole body. I mean, the Bible is full of that kind of faith. The New Testament church is full of that kind of faith. Read the great revivals that have occurred. Read the stories of Smith Wigglesworth and I think it was G.L. Lake and many of the others. I remember reading a story in Lake's book some years ago. And he was in a country where they was having an epidemic. And he was there to pray and see people healed. And God was using him mightily. And they began to challenge him. Why aren't you getting sick? And why aren't you falling under the dread of this disease? And he challenged them. He challenged the medical profession. He said, you take one of those germs you've isolated and you lay it on this Holy Ghost filled hand that you see here in front of you. I'm nothing, he said, but the Holy Ghost in me is mighty and powerful. And so he said, you lay that germ on my hand and put your microscope there and you watch it die. Because that germ's going to die as it lays there on my hand. Because I'm telling you, faith in God is supernatural. And the power of faith will make a new creature out of you. And I thought, wow. And I remembered that for years since reading the story. And long for that kind of faith. Well, I'm praying for it. I'm believing for it. But let's talk about unbelief. Let's talk about why many people are so full of unbelief. Well, let's start at the very basis. The Bible. The Bible is a book of faith. It is called the faith. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful, Brother Marley? The Bible is called the faith. Because it is a book of faith. It is a book of faith. But we live in a day when people take the Bible and they choose, they pick and choose. They read the Bible and they come to something that they have trouble believing and they just kind of pass on. And so the smorgasbord approach to the Bible has destroyed faith in this generation. The treating of the Bible as a book you choose from, a book you choose out of. The Bible becomes many translations, and you choose the one that the natural man can understand without the moving of the Holy Ghost in their life. And then we expect faith to come out of that natural choice of a Bible that's been tampered and is no longer truly infallible. And we wonder why faith has been robbed and why faith is gone and why the church world promotes the medical field just like the medical world promotes themselves. And there's no trusting, there's no confidence, there's no dependency upon this Bible. The Bible is a book that God wants you to depend upon totally and exclusively and utterly and completely. The Bible is a book that is perfect from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Every word in this Bible is God's word. Every word is pure. Every word is absolute. Every word has been spoken by Him. Not a jot or a tittle will pass. I mean, you can go on and on. Not a jot or a tittle will pass away. Now, that kind of treatment of the Bible will change everything about your life. Amen. It is the infallible word of God. If God said it, that settles it. If God said it, that settles it. And you don't choose, you don't pick and wonder, you don't move around and try to say this is okay and that's not okay. It blew my mind when that young man that has sat right here in this church numerous times would look at me and say, I don't believe in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I didn't know how to answer such a ridiculous statement except to say, have you lost your mind? And I said something like that, and he didn't like that either. Have you lost your mind? What can happen that a person would take a chapter in the Bible and say, I don't believe it? Well, if you get in these new translations and you go and hear these new style preachers that fill the pulpits of our day, I understand. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible is infallible. And if you begin to question one passage in this Bible, unbelief has just lassoed your mind. Can everybody understand that? If you begin to doubt one passage in this Bible, if you begin to doubt one scripture, if you begin to doubt one verse, if you begin to doubt one chapter, if you begin to doubt one thing in this Bible, unbelief has just attacked you with a ferocity that will rob you of your faith. Am I making sense? So, this business of choosing from the Bible that which one wants to choose, what one preacher says. I never forget about hearing about the preacher. It was Brother Switzer who told it. In fact, he took a book one night here preaching in camp meeting, and he began to tear. Well, it wasn't a Bible, I don't think, but I remember somebody upset. I didn't mean to remember that. And he began to tear the pages out of it, and he showed how if a preacher says, well, you can't really trust that, and you can't trust that. And he was telling of a person in a church where a pastor was doing that. And finally, he looked at his Bible, and all he had was the cover. He'd torn all the pages out because the preacher didn't like that or didn't believe that. Well, I want to tell you something. Unbelief says the Bible is not the perfect word of God. And if you dare say it, how many can say with me, the Bible is the infallible word of God? Would you say that? The Bible is the infallible word of God. Say it again. The Bible is the infallible word of God. Every word, I believe it. Now, you start today and you start reading and searching your Bible. And every time you come to something that may be a little different, I believe it. And you just dig in. I mean, put your anchor down, get you a good pick and shovel and start digging spiritually into that verse. And you'll find that God's Bible is a perfect book. Hallelujah. If there's anything kept this old preacher here who stands in front of you this morning, it has been, I have believed every word of the Bible for 63 years and 7 months, and I will never change. It is the infallible word of God. Hallelujah. Now, number two is picking and choosing things that you lack and rejecting things that you don't lack. Oh, how much of this church generation that takes different passages in the Bible that applies to the culture of that day, and that applies to that particular era of human history, and that applies to that group of people over there, but it don't apply to me. Every word in this Bible applies to you, my brothers and sisters. Every word is God talking to you, and God's not talking double speak. God's not talking double speech. God's talking plain, and the Bible is so beautiful. Even this week, we heard a young man say, I'm trying to figure out what I think is right and wrong. What are you using as a basis? The only basis is the Bible. You don't pick and choose life unless you pick and choose the Bible. Anybody understand? That's so simple, isn't it? The Bible is the infallible Word of God. Now, the Bible is very plain. There is a problem of unbelief that I want you to listen to carefully here. Very carefully. There's such a thing as believing in God without believing on God. And probably the biggest problem in the church world today is they believe in God. You don't go to a Christian church, at least, not many people, if you don't believe in Him. And you can meet people who are alcoholics. You can meet people who are living for themselves, fleshly, wicked lives, and they'll tell you in a moment, I believe in God. Don't condemn me. Don't try to tell me I'm not a Christian. I believe in God. Well, believing in God is not the same as believing on God. So one of the big problems of unbelief, is this business of a church world that believes on Him but don't believe in Him. They believe on Him, but they don't believe in Him. Do you understand the difference? I mean, it's like, you can say that car of mine will take me home. I believe in that car. It's a good car, but I think I'll just walk instead of taking it. And so I don't believe on the car. I just believe in the car. So if I only believe in the car, then I'm only going to let it sit out there and look at how pretty it is. A pretty car. It's a nice car. It's one of the nicest cars I've ever had. I expected it to be my last one. Not so sure right now, but I expect it to be my last one. I'd drive until the rapture, or until I was too old to drive. But if I just believed in it and just talked about its beauty and talked about it's going to be paid for shortly and all of that kind of stuff, and I didn't get in it and turn the switch and take off down the road, it wouldn't do me no good. Am I making sense? Somebody listen to me. Am I making sense? You don't just believe in Him, you believe on Him. Hallelujah. You don't just believe that He is mighty, you trust in that might. You don't just believe He saves by His blood, you trust on that blood to save you. You don't just believe He can heal the sick, you trust on that power of those stripes to heal you and make you whole. And you get on it, and you stand on it, and you dare the devil to even try to push you off, and you just stand there. Hallelujah. I believe on Him. I believe on Him. How about you? I believe on the Lord. I believe on His Bible. I believe on His promises. I believe on everything that He says and everything that He's got. He's a mighty God and He's mighty to save. Wave that hand at your great God. Hallelujah. Father, I believe on You. I don't just believe in You. I believe on You. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. I believe on God. I believe on His word. I believe on every word in that book. I believe on every word He's spoken. Hallelujah. So you don't just believe in Him. You believe on Him. Hallelujah. Well, here's another one. Big two. I don't interpret the Bible like you do. Oh, you don't, huh? Well, what is there about the Bible to interpret? You know, did you know something the Bible says is pretty plain? No man has a private interpretation of the Bible. The Bible says that. The Bible says there is no such thing as a private interpretation. The Bible is just plain. I mean, the Bible says, the wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err in this Bible. That's how simple the Bible is. When I got saved, I couldn't read. I could not read. They said, read the Bible. I started reading. The Holy Ghost helped me learn to read. I learned to read the Bible, and as I read it, I was told, believe every word of it. So I start believing every word of it. Hallelujah. And the more I read, the more it got in me. And the more I read, the more I loved him. And the more I read, the bigger it got. Hallelujah. Now they tell you, you can't read the King James Version unless you got a college education. Well, I read it without any education. Hallelujah. Because God had saved me. And the Bible just kept coming alive. And it got bigger. And it got sweeter. And it got richer. Hallelujah. I can remember so many times when the Bible has set my soul on fire. Hallelujah. I remember so many times I've shouted and squalled and shouted and squalled all at the same time because of the authority and the beauty of this great book. Hallelujah. We got to believe God. We got to learn to trust God. Oh, he's mighty. I'm telling you, God is mighty. Oh, yeah, everybody thinks they've got a right. They've got a right. They've got a right to believe what they want to believe. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. When you believe that Bible and you stand on it and you fight all the devils you have to fight to keep on believing it, something's going to change. I remember Ray Hughes was preaching and he said, if you'll pour hot lead down a hole long enough, something's got to give after a while. Hallelujah. Pour hot lead down a hole long enough, something's got to give after a while. I'm telling you, you keep pouring the hot lead of this Holy Bible into your mind and into your heart, and it may take a little while for it to do the kind of work you need, but I'm here to tell you, something's going to give after a while. Something's going to change. There's going to be a miracle. There's going to be a supernatural move, and your life is going to be different than it's ever been because you have learned to trust God. You have learned to trust God. You have learned to believe that God meant what he said. Now, let me warn you. The Antichrist has never been at work more sharply than he is right now. The world is being invaded with mental bondages and mental confusion and mental bewilderment. I mean, the world, the minds of our generation are being absolutely attacked with the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of darkness, the spirit of confusion, and the spirit of unbelief. I believe that unbelief is attacked in men and women today in a way greater than has ever happened in human history. I believe a preacher like myself or a Sunday school teacher like Brother Marlon or any one of you as saints of the living God, I believe you are going, and you probably already sense it, you're going to be attacked with this need to believe, and yet with something trying its best. I mean, imagine the world and all the mess that's out there and then believing that there is a supreme God in charge of all of it. How do you tell a person who all they've ever had is suffering and sadness and sickness and darkness and ugliness and their lives have been a hell on earth? How do you tell them there's a supreme God in charge of everything? It ain't easy. Oh, no, it ain't. It isn't easy. Oh, but it's real. Did you hear me? It's real. I said it's real. It's real. I know it's real. There's a great big God who's big enough to meet every need. Hallelujah. And this world may be telling you it's not real, but I'm telling you it is real. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost is telling you it is real. And the Bible is telling you it is real. Listen to me. This old time faith is absolutely real. It will never be less than real. Oh, do you hear me? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, there's much reason that I understand. I really have come to understand that unbelief is a powerful force. It really is. It's a force that just comes like a storm against everybody. And you can understand why we're having such a trouble winning people to Christ. Why we're having such a tussle trying to get. You know what we need? We need signs and wonders. We need a mighty move of signs and wonders. We need God moving in such a genuine way that the ungodly and the wicked who've been to hell all their life can look and say, well, there is something better, really, is it? Look at that. I see it. I see it. We've got to have that. That's what I'm searching for. That's what I'm hungry for. Oh, I'm claiming it, brother and sisters. I'm claiming it. I believe it's ours by promise. But we have got to do something about unbelief. You and I as a church, We've got to get beyond unbelief ruling our lives. We've got to get beyond it. Now, let's understand something, okay? Let's try our best to understand it. Faith is a work of the Holy Ghost, not a work of the human mind and the human body. Hey, let me say that again now. Faith, real Bible-centered faith. And this is why the world don't have it. This is why the world just don't even care about worrying about it. It's because real faith does not come because I'm smart up here in my head. Real faith doesn't come because I've been well educated. Real faith doesn't come because of any human ability or human talent that Joe Chambers or any one of you have. Faith is a work of the Holy Ghost. Faith is a work of the Spirit. Are you listening to me now? Faith is a work that's divine. Faith is a work that's supernatural. Real faith doesn't come because I exert myself. That's been taught so big these last few years, and it's had a great, very negative effect, is that you can become a little God. No, you're not going to be a little God. You haven't been. You're not going to be. You will be glorified one of these days. But if you're going to have God's faith, you're going to have the faith that the Spirit of God gives into you. And so you've got to understand that the human has no capacity of real faith. Now, I'm getting across this morning. I'm so hungry that you hear me. I'm so hungry that I change everybody in this building, including what the Lord is trying to do to change me. But faith is not the work of flesh. Faith is not the work of flesh. Amen. Faith is, everybody say that with me, would you? Faith is not the work of flesh. No, it's not the work of flesh. I'd stand here and I'd say, I'm going to believe one way or the other. I'm going to be bullheaded. I'm going to believe. And I just keep on struggling with believing. And I keep on struggling with believing. And I just keep on struggling with believing. But those supernatural things still aren't happening. Still aren't taking place. Healings that I want to see in this building are still not happening. So there must be something wrong with me trusting in my faith to believe. So the answer is only the Holy Ghost of God can create and implant and manifest in you the kind of faith that brings about the glory and the majesty and the miracles and the signs and the wonders. It's going to take a faith bigger than Joe Chambers. It's going to take a faith bigger than Allen Church. It's going to take a faith bigger than any one of you and me, any of us. It's going to take a faith that's divine and that's available. Well, that's the wonderful thing about it, is the faith of the Spirit is available. Oh, it's a draw. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the faith is rooted in the unbelief of man, is rooted in the old Adamic nature. And we're going to wrestle with that until we get to the end of this walk. And that's why we can't trust in this flesh. You understand, the world today does not believe in an Adamic nature. They don't believe people are born in sin. The word sin is a total no-no in the political correct arena. The word sin is just, all you got to say is something about sin, and mother, they're ready to cut you down and throw you out the back door. Because it just has no place in the academic world in which we live. It has no place in much of the church world where we live. All you got to do is read a little bit on the Facebook and the news of our generation. And the word sin is a no-no. But I want to tell you what, the only problem we got is sin. The only problem we got is sin. It's an Adamic nature. So if you want to move from unbelief to faith, you've got to reckon that your flesh is not sufficient to have the faith that you need to move into that spiritual realm. And so what do? You start repenting and you start correcting. And you start getting sanctified. And you start waiting on God until He purifies you from your head down to your toes. And every ounce of unbelief that's in your heart is wrong. It's sinful. It's damaging. It'll do great damage to you. And so you need to go to God and say, God, I'm having trouble trusting this. I'm having trouble trusting that. I'm having trouble believing in that. So God, I'm confessing to You there's something wrong in my flesh. And I want to be cleansed. Somebody raise your hand with me now. Are you ready? Are you ready for God to cleanse you of unbelief until the faith which is of God takes hold of you, until you become mobilized and anointed and the Spirit of the living God gets a hold of you and you start trusting everything that God said on face value? Well, hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord this morning. I am hungry. I'm hungry. Now, one of the problems, and you see it everywhere in the church world today, go to 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. I'll show it to you. 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. Powerful verse of scripture. I'm waiting for you to get it because I want you to read it with me. 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. Who also hath made us able ministers, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter which killeth. Are you listening? But of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Did you know? You ask any preacher that's been around and heard a lot of preachers, and they'll tell you they can't find a preacher that really gets anointed today. The preachers have all become teachers. Why are they teachers instead of preachers? Because that's a good excuse not to get anointed. I don't agree with that, because I believe God anoints Marlon Clark to teach. And I know God has many times anointed me to teach. But I want to tell you what's missing in our church world today. And the Pentecostals are just as suffering because of it as any other church. And that is, we have very few preachers that truly get anointed by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The letter. You can read that Bible and memorize it from Genesis to Revelation and know every word of it and be as powerless and as full of unbelief as you were when you started. But when you begin to read that Bible and you begin to get anointed to read the Bible and you sit under anointed preacher where the word of God comes forth in power and unction of the Holy Ghost, then faith begins to grow and faith begins to rise. Now are you hearing me? The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I'm here to tell you, the preacher who preaches all the academics of the Bible and does it very capably and very, very, very intellectually will do nothing but you for you but kill you. All of this preaching on TV and radio, the majority of it, 90, probably 8%, maybe 99, maybe even more than that, is letter preaching with no anointing of the Holy Ghost. No unction of the Spirit of the living God. Raise your hand now and help me, will you? Praise God. But I want to tell you something. That letter of preaching will do nothing but kill your faith. It'll render you to be helpless. That young man that I told you about at the beginning of the service that told me he didn't believe in 1 Corinthians 14. He's been going to a church that doesn't believe in this wonderful work of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't believe in speaking in tongues. Doesn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And so he's now in a state of death. He is dying spiritually and will probably lose his soul if somebody don't rescue him. Maybe already has. I'm here to tell you, the word killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The letter killeth. The letter killeth. Now, just because a preacher is loud and you know, runs across the platform like I do and comes down in the front, don't mean he's anointed. That's not anointing. All my activity, all my loudness, all my enthusiasm, that's not the anointing. The anointing is that unction of the Holy Ghost that I hope you're feeling this morning, that I know I'm feeling. Hallelujah. It's that word of God that's mighty, and it's anointed by the Holy Ghost, and it's mighty to save, and it's mighty to heal, and it's mighty to transform. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Is this right? Is this right? Is this right, Marla? Amen. Listen. See, so you understand why unbelief has taken over this generation. You understand why most churches don't believe in the power of God. They say the gifts of the Holy Ghost were ended with the early disciples. It was given only to them to birth the church and to get it on its feet. And now that it's on its feet, it's not on its feet, by the way. The church is on its back. I said the church is not on its feet, it's on its back. But the gifts of the Holy Ghost will put us back on our feet. Hallelujah. The gifts of the Holy Ghost will put anointing and strength in the house of God. So you understand it now that unbelief, we are guilty in this church of a whole lot of unbelief. Now don't get mad at me. I'm talking about me. And if you're guilty, at least do something about it. But unbelief, we doubt God's word. We trust everything but God's word. We trust everything but the Holy Book. We trust everything. If we get in trouble, we don't run to God. We run to somebody to borrow money or to use the bank card or to do something else. But we haven't learned to trust God. When I first got saved and first called to preach, we went out preaching and we trusted God. See, back then, if God called you to preach, you didn't go somewhere and say, have you got a good parsonage you can put me in? How much salary do you pay me? What will it be? At least $700 a week? You know, you can't get a preacher for less than that today. You got to have a parsonage for him and a $700 a week salary if you get a preacher to come. I've been trying to get some. I really have. But they got a habit, laid out. Oh, but you need to trust it. Just come down and trust God with us. Let's believe God together. No. I'm not ready for that. I got a wife. I got children. Let me tell you something, church. If you trust God, He'll meet your need every time. If you learn to take God at His word, He's big enough to handle every promise He made in this Holy Bible. If we'll get rid of unbelief, we'll see the majesty of the God of heaven. Do you hear me? You won't need to run here and run there. You can actually go to God. That can't be true. You can actually go to God. With every... How many of you believe this? Come on, raise your hand if you believe it. You can actually go to God with every need you've got. Come on, slip your hand way up high. Yes, sir. I go to my... Oh, I feel His Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I feel His Holy Ghost, Sister Doris. You can actually go to God. You can actually go to God. You can actually believe every word in this Holy Bible. You can actually claim every promise in this blessed book. You can actually take God at His word and stand on it. And all hell can't do anything about it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I'm begging of you this morning. Now with Brother Chambers, time is given out on me. But now with Brother Chambers, will you help me? Let's do something about the unbelief that we're hampered with. 2 weeks I've been seeking Him in a greater way than I remember for a long time. And I can tell you, yesterday, we had a miracle at our house. A family miracle. I mean, without knowing details, we'd just say, thank you, Lord. We'd just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I've got so many. Okay, God. Sister Ruby, I cannot stand you being in the condition you're in. I want you healed, Sister Ruby. Hallelujah. I want you healed, Sister Ruby. Sister Sylvia, I want you healed. Sister Andra, I want you healed. I want my little wife walking without having to struggle with her feet. I want her healed. I want her healed. I want every one of you to know the miracles of God. Want your kids saved, Sister Doris. Want your family saved, Sister Andra. Want your family saved, Brother Buck. I want every one of your family saved. I want to see the hand of God. I want to see the supernatural of the mighty Holy Ghost. I know it's in that book. I know what that book said. And I believe what that book said. And I'm willing to stand on it. Are you willing to stand on it? Are you willing to really stand on it? Are you really willing to just make up your mind? I'm going to be used of God. I'm going to be in His kingdom. I'm going to be doing something useful. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16. 16:16. Mark 16:16. Let's see what God says. Let's see if you really believe. See now, it's amazing. When you really get down to where the rubber meets the road, the church world is so hampered by unbelief. This church, Paul Creek Ministry, is hampered by unbelief. The struggle starts with me. I'm not pointing my finger at nobody but Joe Chambers. But oh, have I repented? I've been digging back through me and my attitude and my faith. I've been looking for every place where there might be a little tinge of unbelief, where it might be me praying for somebody and I'm just kind of going through the motion and I don't really believe it's going to happen. I really say I want it to happen, but it don't happen. And you know, it really isn't my fault. It's your fault. If you didn't have so much unbelief, it wouldn't happen for me so bad. Have you ever said something like that? I said, have you ever said something like that? We preachers just as guilty as anybody else. If something don't happen after I pray, then it may well be my fault and not the fault of the person I'm praying for. And I'm willing to start admitting that. And I'm willing to confess it to God and claim a faith that would absolutely take possession of me. Hallelujah. So that when I say something that God said, it'll be just as real if God was saying it all over again. And that's how God really meant for it to be. When you say something God said, God wants you to believe it's so big and so great that it actually happens all over again, just like when God said it. Amen. That's how God meant for it to be. Now, Mark 16:16. He that believeth. He that believeth. I want you all to read this with me, will you? Everybody got your Bible open. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Anybody reading with me? And these signs shall follow them that believe. That's right. Woo! God bless you, Brother Buck. Hell, of course, I love it, seeing the Holy Ghost move on this blessed man of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love it. But these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Now I want to see everybody in the building that's ever cast out a devil, raise your right hand. What did the Bible say? He that believeth, they shall cast out devils. Well, thank God I've seen several devils, especially in foreign fields, cast out. And I believe in it. I know God has used me. I remember, how many remember a little guy come here one morning and he'd come from college with somebody that was going to college and he stood right here. And the devil began to manifest. And Brother Marlin, you were here. You came, two of the others, and the Father cast that devil out of that man. We did together with God. Now remember, God does nothing unless he's got some human hands helping him. Did you know that? How many knew that? That God does nothing without human hands. God could come down here and God could heal everybody in Charlotte. He could come through this city with a great train of angels and heal the sick. But God's waiting for you and I to be usable to him and become men and women of faith so that we can go through the city and see people healed and people saved and people transformed. But I want to tell you something. It won't happen until the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you. He that believeth, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on. Well, it goes on to say, as they're drinking it in, the thing it shall not hurt them. You know, I want to tell you something. When you really get this faith a hold of you, you become dynamite for God. And I want that faith. Now, let's say something very important. This kind cometh not. Come on. But what? You mean I got to give up some meals before I can have this kind of faith?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to become broken enough before God that you'd rather have the power of the Holy Ghost than a great big steak. You got to become broken enough before God that you can push that plate back and say, I'm going to wait on God until he changes my life. Hallelujah. I know we have to eat to live. I understand that. And when you're my age, you need a little something in your stomach to keep moving. But God's helping me. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, if we will believe God, we will see the supernatural. And I believe we're willing. I'm asking you by faith, let's make a commitment of ourselves that we are going to do whatever necessary to become usable to God with faith. Or we're going to have to be willing. I'm telling you, never has it been a mother or a daddy or the pastor or anyone else who made up their mind, who got on their face and stayed there, who fasted and prayed as long as was necessary, who kept seeking God with all their heart, that God didn't move in their behalf. History is so full of it until it is breathtaking. And if you want to be part of it, stand up, will you? I want God to use me. I want to become a usable vessel. I want to see the majesty of heaven. I want to see my unsaved loved ones saved. I'm tired of my loved ones going to hell, and I can't do nothing about it. I've got to see results. I've got to see results. I've got to see results. Brief upon that, Lord. Would you raise your hand in prayer? Father, I just wait on you this morning. The name of Jesus of Nazareth. I love your word. I love the truth of your word. Hallelujah. I know what old-fashioned sanctification will do. No question, Father. The missing element in today's church world is the sanctification of this old flesh. Because when it gets sanctified right, faith will begin to manifest mightily. I'm believing you, Lord. I want to be crucified with Christ, nevertheless live, but not I, Christ living in me. The life in which I will live will be by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I've got to see the power of God. I've got to see the power of the Holy Ghost. This church has got to see the mighty movement of the Holy Ghost.
Oh,